Hey, welcome to the latest edition of the Verbal Dinosaur Podcast. I'm leaving that in as the open.
Sure, why not?
It's gonna be it. It's gonna be, yeah. This entire episode will just be 60 minutes of Anthony and I fake slurping beers and then going into the microphone.
You were fake slurping your beer?
No, because I don't slurp. I'm not a mongrel.
You're not a Mongol?
I'm not a Mongol. I'm not a man of the Mongol tribe. No, I'm not.
Well,
at all.
Maybe you should be.
Episode number... They changed all the stuff on Apple Podcasts. I don't know which one is which. 117.
Hey.
117. One Todd Helton. Yeah.
It's like 50 fewer days than the Rockies have been in a playoff spot this
year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So about that Rockies playoff spot.
It's tenuous. I'm Tyler Mullen.
And I'm Anthony Masterson.
And we're in person. We're live. Live and on site in the belly of the beast, the home of the Arizona Diamondbacks.
We're in Scottsdale.
We're not in the actual belly of the beast.
That would be impressive.
Like Jonah and the whale.
Yeah, like My Name is Jonas, that Weezer song.
Like Jonas Salk, the inventor of
the polio vaccine.
Polio vaccine. Yeah, I was gonna say penicillin, but he wasn't penicillin.
Oh, you're an
idiot.
Who's
penicillin?
You.
Oh, that was me. That's right. Penicillin.
You don't get enough credit for that, in my opinion. IMO.
Alexander Fleming was penicillin. Okay, I'm sorry. Sorry, Alexander.
It was an accident, actually. Penicillin.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, the mold and the petri dish. This is the most intellectual conversation we've ever had on the start of this podcast.
You see what we're trying to avoid talking about the Rockies?
Yep. It has been really something. Yeah, with that, it's the latest edition of the Purple Dinosaur Podcast, live and in person. Not live, actually, at all, because live would mean that you were listening to it as we're saying this, and you're not. So just an in-person edition of the podcast, off to a roaring start, as it is.
We are in Arizona for...
We are.
For my wedding.
We are.
It's taking place on Saturday the 23rd.
If all goes according to plan,
unless
still some time for us to talk Nicole out of it.
So,
we're legal adults. We can have these beverages. Cam. So anyway,
We're pouring one out for Connor.
Yeah. At Rockies versus Connor, no longer with us.
Although by the time that you
rest in peace, maybe he will be
this podcast.
Maybe he'll be back.
Reactivated his account.
He could be back. Depends all on how the Rockies do, presumably over the next 4 days in San Diego,
of all places,
where they take on the San Diego Padres, the 68-84 San Diego Padres as of when we were recording this on Thursday. But it has not been a great few days for our fighting baseball men in the purple pinstripes. The Rockies this year, 10-5 against the Padres.
Feel pretty good
about that. Yeah. But the Rockies also, going into the last 2 days, were 12-5 against the San Francisco Giants, and that didn't go well.
Yeah, to get shut out by 2017 Matt Moore. That's a pretty low point.
Yeah, not great.
Low points. When you're fighting for a playoff spot.
Yeah.
And you got a very favorable schedule.
It's very favorable.
I mean, they're lucky that the Pirates somehow realized they can score runs
right.
in the game and hit a walk-off on the Brewers yesterday.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it would be a tie atop the National League wildcard standings. Well, atop the second
spot in the National League wildcard standings. Mother of God. The top two teams in the NL wildcard race right now, the team that calls this area home, the Arizona Diamondbacks, they're 88-65, 5.5 games up on the Rockies, who will enter tonight, Thursday night, at 82-70. So they've clinched a winning season.
Wow, that's great.
That's all great. It's terrific. Whatever. It's more than a lot of people expected coming into this year. But they've lost 5 out of their last 10, not playing the greatest of ball.
It means they've won 5 out of their last 10 as well.
It does, if you're a glass half full kind of man.
And I am.
Which, as we know, I am also.
Yeah. I'm feeling good. I'm getting married. I mean, I'm feeling live.
Okay, then give us the optimistic take on why we should be okay about this. I mean, the Padres are garbage, so obviously that helps. But, you know, not...
That helps anybody's optimism.
Not
the Padres being garbage.
Not the way we were hoping at this stage.
No, and it's tough to take because the team was playing so well in that Saturday night game against the Padres, and they blew out like 100-0.
Something. I think it was that.
And then that game on Sunday was a big bummer. They scored 3 runs early, and you thought they were going to coast to a sweep, and it was going to be all roses. I mean, the Brewers were still winning, but whatever. Like, if you keep winning, beat bad teams, that's great. end up blowing the lead. Jake McGee gives it up. He's been bad this month. Greg Holland gives up a run in the ninth. They end up losing 4-3. And then to lose two games to the 2017 Giants in that fashion, that's just it's hard to take. The good thing is you are playing the Padres this weekend, and they are starting a couple of old friends who got wrecked in Coors Field this weekend, and Jordan Lyles and Jolie Chassin, Clayton Richard, who the Rockies have done very well against this season. There's pitching tonight against Tyler Anderson. The Rockies are lining up John Gray to pitch on Friday, Bettis to pitch on Saturday, and then Herman Marquez on Sunday. So it lines up for you as a Rockies fan fairly well with the pitching matchups. But these Padres have been pretty pesky, especially at home in the second half, kind of what they always seem to do, no matter who's the manager. They always seem to play better in the second half, save the guy's job, and then end up sucking in the first half of the next season.
Unless you're Bud Black.
It happened to Bud Black a lot.
Well, yeah. Before the last time, it happened okay.
Before the last time, it happened to Bud Black a lot. So, you know, they beat the D-backs, I think, 2 out of 3 just recently. D-backs won on Wednesday night. But they're a team that's not laying down. Hunter Renfro's hitting the ball better right now. We've seen the really just terrible baseball players that the Padres have. They can own the Rockies for a weekend. Carlos Asuaje with his eyebrows. And
yeah.
Corey Spangenberg will have a massive day. And Will Myers does his thing against the Rockies. So, you know, you can't take any of these teams lightly, especially this late in the season, because... You know, being optimistic, though, the schedule favors you. You got these four in San Diego. You come home to face three against the Marlins, who are playing very bad baseball right now. And then you got the Dodgers with nothing to play for the last week of the regular season. So I think I missed one of them there. Or is that right?
That's right. Only three series left.
Good God. So it favors well for you. The Brewers are playing four at home against the Cubs starting tonight. So that's a huge series and go either way. You hope that either the Brewers sweep and knock the Cubs out, and hopefully they can win that Central, and the Rockies can beat the Cubs, and the Cubs don't make the playoffs because screw those guys. And, you know, or you hope that the other happens, that the Cubs sweep the Brewers and basically end Milwaukee's season, and the Rockies can kind of get lucky but still coast in the playoffs. That'd be nice.
Yeah, I think everybody would be okay with that. It is, when you look at the rest of the season, it stacks up very well, but so did July and August for the most part too. And that's I think problem. What really worries you right now with the Rockies, and especially, you know, coming into a stretch run like this. Yeah, nobody expected them to be here, sure. There's a lot of positives to take away from this. Yeah. But yeah, exactly. Like, you get to this stage now, you can't. It would be one thing if they were going down the stretch and they had back-to-back series against the Dodgers and the D-backs, and then they had to go play.
Like they did.
And they won 6 out of 8. Like, that was fine. And then you go to San Francisco and you lose 2 straight. I don't get it at all. But they're not finishing up against the Dodgers and the D-backs and the Nationals. And, you know, there's the
Cardinals and Brewers play each other as
right.
well.
Yeah. So there's a lot of beating up that's going to go around in the National League Central right now. But it does worry you because there are some guys on this roster who are not, as you would say, finishing strong. Mike Dunn this month, 8 appearances, an ERA of 10.80.
Don't spoonerize it.
Greg Holland, actually, with the exception of that one outing, really hasn't been terrible this month. He's made 7 appearances. He's got an ERA under 1.5.
Well, and really, his outing on Sunday against San Diego was a couple of infield hits and some,
right.
Yeah, like a,
yeah, it was
a
about
squeeze
as
bunt
and, unlikely as you know. Possible. Jake McGee, an ERA of 9.5 in 7 outings. Adam Ottavino has been really bad, 9.64 his ERA in 6 outings. And those are the guys that you really, really need to be effective for you.
Especially the late lefties. I mean, you have Chris Russell as a lefty, but he's more of a swingman, a do-everything kind of guy. And then you have, if Jake McGee and Mike Dunn are both having concurrently horrible Septembers, that does not bode well for your late-inning bullpen. You need those lefties to get lefties out late in games, and they're not getting the job done this month.
Especially with Tyler Anderson looking so good now, being back in a starting capacity. He's only made 2 appearances this month since he came back, but he'll get the nod again in the rotation. Was terrific in the start his last time out, 6 innings. That makes you worried a little bit. But the thing that it still comes back to is this offense. And even an offense that has Carlos Gonzalez going now,
he's heated up.
He has heated up. Now we can say that he is heated.
He's fully heated.
He's been in the oven for some time.
He is like,
and now he is heated.
This weather on the back patio of my future parents-in-law's house.
Yeah.
It is very hot.
It's warm. And we even put the umbrella up to not die of, you know, a grade 12 sunburn. But Cargo this month, 385, 500, 827 is his slash line. He's OPSing 1327 this month. And still as a team, they just go lights out sometimes. Like, yeah. they just can't get it figured out at the plate all at the same time. And they yeah. have a game where they do, where they put up 16 runs against the Padres in a shutout, and then you go to San Francisco and you can't score against Matt Moore?
Like 2017 Matt Moore? No, sorry. And, you know, and to be honest, Nolan Arenado's had some bad at-bats with runners scoring position over the last couple of games and couple of weeks, I guess. But we saw him have that stretch, was it maybe early August or last couple of weeks of August? And then he exploded once again. So you just have to hope that Nolan can get it in his head that he can be that guy one more time for the stretcher in the last 10 days of the season. They need him more than anybody else.
That's it. You get to these benchmarks of the season where you think, all right, last it's the second half. That'll be great. Or it's the last start of a lot of in-division play. That's when you really got to turn it on. Now, it's no longer the last month of the season. It's the last 10 days of the season. There's no more time to wait around. Trevor Story has looked a lot better at the plate. Nolan, the numbers, even this month through somewhat what you look at with Nolan as being substandard performances. He's still OPSing 961 yeah. in September. Charlie Blackmon has been down a little bit. You got 10 days left to make this all worth it. You have 10 games left. Now is the time when everybody has to get it figured out, and you're not going to an easy place to do it at Petco Park. The Rockies, traditionally the numbers show that they don't play that well at Petco Park. Petco never feels like a house of horrors. They go to San Francisco for a September series, yeah. and you're like, oh, God, San Francisco. Petco, yeah. you know, you got the Brad Hopp home run in 2007 when he went opposite field off of, who was that, Clay? One of the Clays that the Padres had at that time.
Yeah, Clay Travis.
Clay, yeah, why not? and it was, you know, a series that they ended up sweeping that they probably had no business winning two games out of.
The 22-inning game?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That 2008. One, 2008. So, Petco Park, I don't know, for whatever reason, that doesn't...
Ian Desmond had two home runs in a game out. At Petco Park?
Yeah! Like, and Ian Desmond has, I think, only two career home runs. Ian Desmond has only hit two career balls in the air. So, you know, that's... But you can't go to San Diego and lose that series.
No.
If you split... You're on the road. It's not great because you're taking on a bad team, but it's better than coming home on a down note. But then it sets up how much better you have to play against the Marlins and the Dodgers. Yeah. There's no time to waste now. That's the ultimate lesson. There's no time to waste anymore.
It would be the ultimate kick in the ironic, you know, testicles.
Jewels.
I can say that. Yeah. Testicles, right?
It's an anatomical term.
If they went 6-2 in an 8-game road trip to LA and Arizona and then dropped 5-6
yeah.
to San Francisco and San Diego.
Yeah, that'd really be something. 4 at San Diego, 3 at home against Miami, 3 at home against the Dodgers. Neither of those teams will be playing for anything. I mean, this is a part of the schedule, at least for the next 7 games, you should be able to feast on. You should be able to go 5-2, 6-1. Against San Diego and Miami, and then the Dodgers come to town.
They'll be clinched.
Yeah, their magic number as we're recording this is down to 1. They could clinch it by tomorrow because the D-backs, I believe, are off tonight. So by tomorrow, they could be division champs. So then maybe you encounter a 2007 D-back situation where the end of the year they're not really throwing guys out there. They're trying to save their best bullets, their freshest bullets for the postseason. But, you know, that obviously is a long way off and remains to be seen. The ultimate thing is you got to figure out how to get the offense going. Raimel Tapia has been fantastic. He's not seeing everyday action,
maybe
obviously.
Maybe he should.
Maybe he should. The guy who you would put him in for now is getting it figured out, in Carlos Gonzalez. But still, it seems like there are power outages all around him.
Roberto Parra, you know, he's going to be entrenched in left field, I think, at this point.
Yeah. You know, I mean, Charlie Blackmon is almost the guy who you look at right now as the coolest bat. You're obviously not going to see him.
You're not taking him out.
But he's the guy who...
Maybe don't hit him first.
Yeah. And that's I think, a very legitimate point, because we've had discussions at times this year of what do you do? How do you get the offense to get things a little bit more consistently wound throughout a season? You got your best on-base percentage guy and Charlie Blackmon batting leadoff. That's fine. That's great. But you have a guy who is grounded into 23 double plays behind him and feels like he's going to ground into a double play every time he's at the plate with a runner at first and DJ LeMahieu. And DJ's hitting .315 this year. You know, the on-base percentage isn't great. It's at .380, which is fine for a two-hole hitter.
Yeah,
you know, maybe you'd like to see him on base a little bit more. But, yeah, I don't think it'll happen because we're through almost a full season of Bud Black and we haven't really seen – a whole lot in the desire to make those big changes. But is that something now that you have to more seriously look at? You got 10 days left in the year. If this offense isn't clicking, how much longer do you wait?
Well, and I think they eventually made the move to put Cargo in the three hole, which I think they really like. And to be fair, Cargo has responded to that spot. So you like going left, right, and then left generally because Parra's behind Nolan. So you like that alternation in your lineup. I know Bud Black does. You wouldn't want to switch Charlie and DJ in that regard if you're Bud Black, because that would put two lefties back-to-back at the top of the lineup. A guy could come in and maybe neutralize that with just one pitcher. So I get you're doing it for Cargo because he's been so bad this year and he's finally starting to hit and it works. But it's really, really hard to see Chuck do everything so well and be on base all the time and not have a chance to score because he gets
somebody behind him. That you're like, all right, now he's going to engineer.
The guy behind him is a slap hitter that goes the other way a lot, and if he doesn't, he usually rolls it over into a ground ball, and that's a double play.
Yeah.
You know? So you can talk lineup optimization all you want. DJ LeMahieu was good enough to be a leadoff hitter because he does go the other way. He does take what the pitcher gives him. Doesn't try to do too much, but he does those things, and he gets on base at a 38% clip. That's good.
Right.
And then you got arguably your best hitter behind him in Charlie Blackmon. Now, all you have to do, it's a very simple fix. Put Nolan in the three hole, put Cargo in the four hole. Basically what you would plan to do at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
I know Cargo's been feeling it in the three hole, and that's great. But
I don't think it's a function of the spot in the lineup for him.
No, I don't think so. I think he's
right now he's a confident
better.
Hitter,
He changed his grip. He seemed to figure out what he was doing wrong and has fixed it, and he's been more of the Cargo of old this month.
Yeah.
It's an easy fix. You put DJ on at the leadoff spot. He can do that. It's not going to screw him up that much being the leadoff spot. It's not going to screw up Charlie Blackmon to be in the two hole. And that's the thing what Bud Black has even said as much in interviews. Like, I don't want to screw with Chuck. He's doing so well in the leadoff spot. You hit him third for like a week.
Yeah.
Like, what does it matter?
And, I think I don't want to say it's a slight, but these are professional hitters. I mean, they're not guys who are, they're used to starting for their high school travel ball team in the leadoff spot, and all of a sudden you're going to mess with their confidence. Charlie Blackmon being moved down in the order, he's not going to take that as a shot. That's not going to wreck his confidence. I think, if anything, it's probably going to let him know that he's trusted lower in the order to do more productive offensive things because he's shown that he can hit with some pop. He's shown that he can drive in runs.
His numbers, he's got the numbers of a three-hole hitter.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
He's hitting .330. He's got 30 doubles. He's got 10 triples.
He's OPSing over 1,000.
He's got 35 homers. Right. He's got nearly 100 ribbies. That's from the leadoff spot. Yeah. Those are numbers that don't happen.
35 home runs for Charlie Blackmon.
Those numbers don't happen, especially for a leadoff hitter. He's having arguably the greatest leadoff hitter season in baseball history.
Of course.
And it sucks because, honestly, he shouldn't be having that that season because he should be hitting second or third.
Right. Yeah. It's just you get so antsy now because time is a wasting, and the world has really started to crash all around the National League. I mean, it looked for so long like there was just gonna be this Rockies, D-backs, Dodgers runaway with three playoff positions. The Cubs, you figured to turn it on, they would just roll away.
And they mostly
in the
have
Central.
Yeah. Mostly.
They sort of have. And then the Nationals clinched like 6 years ago in the East. But it's just like everybody, the Nats have played mediocre ball. I mean, they're a 5-5 team over their last 10. They haven't had Bryce Harper for a while. The Dodgers, what in God's name has happened? That team looked like they were going to challenge for the single season wins record.
Yeah.
And they've lost now like 20 of their last 26.
Something like that. Something absurd. They almost got swept in a 4-game series by the Phillies.
The Phillies!
The worst team in baseball.
61-91, the Philadelphia Phillies. But that's a frustrating thing too, because you think to yourself, and it's less frustrating for us being Rockies observers than it is for people who observe the Arizona Diamondbacks, but had either of those teams really played the way that they did the first couple months of the season, now you're looking at a division race again, because the Dodgers pulled away for so long, they've fallen so much back to the pack. The only reason why the Dodgers are still running away with this division, the Rockies and the D-backs really haven't played that well.
No, like the D-backs had that 13-game win streak, and since then, it has been inconsistency at best.
Yeah.
I mean, they really did have a show when the Dodgers were in that 11-game losing streak. They only gained 2 or 3 games.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they were not playing well. If they had been playing at least at the 600, 650 clip they were playing at all season long, they could have cut that to within 5 games at some point.
Yeah, yeah. It's, man, it is strange. But, you know, you look at the losing and winning streaks in the National League right now. The second longest losing streak belongs to, among other teams, the Rockies at 3 straight games. The Dodgers have lost 4 straight. But it this is not the time to go drop a series finale that it looked like you had in the bag against the Padres, then go lay an egg in San Francisco. And we talked about this last week. This is where Bud Black, I think, really has to prove some sort of mettle, because he hasn't been a postseason manager before, and we've seen collapses like this from Bud Black-managed teams before. Yeah. 2007, that Padres team, you know, the Rockies go on a historic run, but that's how in the bag that was for that Padres team. The Rockies had to win 13 out of 14 to close the regular season.
And get help.
And get help from the Brewers, ironically enough, to catch the Padres, force game 163 and force their way in. You know, that was a Bud Black piloted team. So
2010,
at this stage,
they had the lead in the first place in the NL West for almost the entire season, lost it on the last day of the year, and missed the playoffs to the Giants.
Yeah, that was, man, that 2010 season was so weird.
Yes.
All over the place.
That, I mean, the Rockies had their epic collapse in September.
Yeah, that was not fun.
The Giants won the World Series.
Yeah. That year, the Giants finished 92-70. They won the division. The Padres 90-72. They were 2 games back. Rockies were 83-79. They were 9 back. Dodgers were 4th in the division that year, and they were 80-82. You know, like, it's pretty good, pretty well-rounded division that year. Yeah, it's just like we're almost in that cone of silence now where there isn't even really that much to talk about. It's go out and win.
It's the eye of the hurricane.
You have to go out now. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Like, this is the moment where you got to get it figured out.
You see the tumult around you.
Right.
And you need to be at peace with everything. You need to be one with everything you're going for. You need to be a unit going for one goal.
Very philosophical.
I mean, yeah, if philosophers drink beer in the afternoon.
So
your breath smells like amber ale.
Your breath smells like pale ale, American pale ale,
American,
devil's ale,
American badass.
American.
What's
idiot.
Your favorite Kid Rock album?
American Idiot. All of them. greatest hits album.
I just celebrate his whole catalog.
Yeah, the whole catalog for the most part. He probably does have a greatest hit. Somebody out there was like, "We got to put together Kid Rock's greatest hits."
All right, so it's got to
be the thing.
It's Ba with the Ba. It's Cowboy, and it's Picture? It's almost Sheryl Crow.
Future
U.S. Senator.
Future United States Senator. I don't know. Like, what else? I don't know, man.
You got to get good pitching this weekend, and that's the thing.
Yeah.
You got to do what you did last weekend. And John Gray, to his credit on Sunday, pitched really well. The rain delay hit.
Yeah.
He didn't come back out. He was cruising.
Right.
The Rockies.
Trevor Siemian did. So, take from that what you will.
Yeah. Hey, those big, strong costume boys.
That one guy who got really mad at us for making a joke about the rain delay in football versus the rain delay in baseball. And I said that they weren't restarting the football game. And he said, "Why would you say this when you know it's false?"
Like,
did you think that I was saying it honestly?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
That was okay. All right.
People turn to us for Broncos coverage.
They do. They do. That is true.
Good for us.
Yeah. There was some other off-the-field news for the Colorado Rockies. Which is very cool, and I will quote from the official release. Quote, "In partnership with Daktronics, the industry leader in large format LED video displays and more, the Rockies will unveil a scoreboard that will measure 8,369 square feet."
That's like Jerry World stuff.
No, 258% larger than the current Coors Field scoreboard. Equivalent in display size to 784 60-inch televisions, which is pretty much my living room.
I mean,
the scoreboard will feature a total of 6.8 million LEDs. But this is the cool thing. In addition to being more than 2 times larger than the current scoreboard, it will feature a uniquely Colorado Rockies shape. The top of the scoreboard will have the mountain cut out, reminiscent of the club's mountain logo, which I think is very cool.
Is that going to go from the rock pile to the Helton's Burgers?
Yeah, I think so. I think it just wraps all the way around. It's a 360-degree video board now.
Instead of building a dome, it's going to build a giant LED board.
It's going to be a big ceiling video board. It's like the Atlanta Falcons stadium, but different.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Next year, there will be the 25th anniversary of Rockies baseball.
The new logo.
Yeah, with the little sleeve patch. We had a question, an Ask PDP question, during the rain delay the other day. Under Armour is going to be taking over the MLB uniform production coming up in 2020. And somebody asked, I think it was Rio, asked if we thought that the Rockies would refresh the logo or the uniforms or something when Under Armour took over. And I said, in my heart, I very much hope so. In my head, I think not. And now I think very much not, because if you're building a video board that has the landscape of your logo in it, probably not going to change that logo anytime soon.
Probably not. And like the CR25 logo they made for, they released this year, kind of looks like an Odell Brewing Company logo.
Yeah.
Like the same font and everything kind of seems.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's
like it's fine.
It's fine. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. Those patches, anniversary patches, are fine.
We're such shills, man.
Yeah, we are. That is, man. I wish they paid more though to be a shill.
Yeah, I wish they paid more than nothing that we get paid right now.
Yeah, no, that is
more
true.
More than the nothing we get paid.
Yeah, the nothing plus a lot of money. Am I right?
Yeah. Who do you think financed this wedding?
The Monfords.
You know it.
This wedding brought to you by Charles and Dick Monford. Also, this one is just from 56 minutes ago, but it is a story that is worth talking about as well. This is a statement from the Rockies regarding expanded netting at Coors Field. Quote, ensuring the safety of our fans has always been our number one priority. In fact, the most important aspect of creating the best fan experience possible starts with the protection of our Coors Field guests. With that in mind, we felt it was important to let our fans know that we have been in discussions with vendors for the past several months with regard to expanded netting for the 2018 season at Coors Field. Beginning with vendor selection, this project is complex. There are engineering issues to address, as well as decisions about height, material type, material color, cabling, length, and location. In order to communicate the most complete information possible to our fans, we intend to make these determinations this offseason, all with fan safety in mind. I cannot commend an organization more than being that open, that forthright. The only thing that I wish is that they would have done it sooner. And the reason why this has come to the fore, 2 days ago, yesterday, Wednesday, there was a little girl who was struck by a 106-mile-an-hour line drive off the bat of Todd Frazier at Yankee Stadium, a foul ball on the third base side that crushed a little girl in the face, knocked her out cold. She was bleeding profusely, was carried out of the stadium, apparently is doing okay, according to the Yankees manager, Joe Girardi. But after that, what I thought was really interesting was players uniformly were saying, this is enough now.
Yeah.
And it sucks that it has to take something like this. The NHL didn't have netting behind the goals until a little girl was killed in Columbus by a puck that hit her in the back of the head. It was a ricochet. It wasn't even a puck that she took to the forehead. A ricochet that hit her in the back of the head and killed her. This is so overdue. And I think it's great that not only are the Rockies doing it, but they're communicating it up front, and they're being, you know, very open about what the process is going to take, because it's not easy.
I mean, they mentioned right there, they have to talk with a lot of people about vendors.
Right, exactly.
Like, what materials going to be using, like, you know, how they can attach to Coors Field without having to ruin the fan experience, or at least hinder the fan experience.
Well, but, and the thing is, too, I mean, the argument to me is such a misnomer of, oh, well, I don't want to look through a net. I've had these season tickets above the dugout for new. I don't want to look through a net. The people who pay the most for tickets to a baseball game sit behind home plate and look through a net. And it's been that way since the beginning of time. Yeah. So I don't get that. And not only that, but nowadays the netting, and I can't remember where I was when somebody was explaining this to me, but the netting now in Major League ballparks is so inconsequential. It's not like you're looking through a net in 1984 anymore. The netting is so thin you barely notice it.
It's not a chain link fence.
No, exactly. Like, you're not looking through the knot hole, gang. Yeah. Got to saw a hole in a wood fence in the outfield.
Like a little rascal.
Yeah, exactly. You put ink up to it, and then you got a big ink blotch around your face. So I think it's a great move by the Rockies. I hope that other major league teams will follow suit. I remember a game. Maybe it might have been 2007, actually, when I was at a game that summer with some friends. And, you know, you see a foul ball get smoked into one of the seating sections. We were sitting on the first base side. It was on the third base side. And you don't really think about it after that. We got up and we walked out and we're going to get some food. And then we see this dude walking by, towel over his face, blood pouring down his cheek. And he was the one who had gotten crushed by it. And it's just like, how much more does it have to? Exactly. Yeah. That's the thing. That's what I don't understand. It's not like we have to conquer some task that nobody's ever figured out before. Like, how are we going to prevent balls from getting into the spectators' area of these venues? Like, in what way is this really a debate? Only if you're Hal Steinbrenner and you don't want to piss off your biggest ticket buyers, which, whatever, you see what happens. But it's just, Enough is enough.
I mean, especially now. I mean, we have StatCast now. We can see exit velocities. We can see that balls are coming off the bat at 115 plus miles an hour sometimes. And if Giancarlo Stanton rips a hanging 80 mile an hour changeup down the left field line at 119 miles an hour to hit you, it could be literally fatal.
Literally fatal.
People hit the ball hard back in the 70s. We know that. But now we can actually quantify how hard it is, and you can see. You can compare it to other things that travel at 119 miles an hour, projectiles that travel that fast.
Like, the point that I saw so often yesterday from players, Todd Van Steensel's a minor leaguer in the Minnesota Twins organization. He's an Australian guy, and so I have known him for a while and was following his tweets yesterday. And his point was, we don't really care if it hinders your experience. And Brian Dozier actually said the exact same thing. He said, we don't give a damn about the fan experience. It should be about fan safety in this capacity. Obviously, they care about fan experience, whatever. But Todd Van Steensel's point, I saw this echoed by a lot of other people, is we see major league infielders who can't handle 106-mile-an-hour line drives. How are we expecting a four-year-old girl or however old this girl was to get out of the way of a line drive? And we got these idiots all over social media who are like, well, kids need to pay attention. In what capacity do you think that you could get out of the way of a 106-mile-an-hour line drive when you're sitting in a seat, so you can't duck down, you can't jump to get out of the way of it? What is wrong with
you? You're drinking a beer.
Right, like, exactly. You know, like, I just don't get it. Yeah. And then, so I commend the Rockies for doing that. I hope it's something that goes over pretty smoothly. You will probably remember this in, I think it was your season.
Okay.
Maybe it was 2011. But when you and I were working in the Carolina League, the team that we worked for, the Myrtle Beach Pelicans, the plan was, and this is back in 2010 or 2011, to extend the netting down to the far side of the dugout. So it went not even all the way to the near side of the dugout. Yeah. It ended before the near side of the dugout, but the plan was to extend it all the way down to the far side of the dugout, and somebody leaked it to the newspaper. Season ticket holders got all up in arms, and the whole thing was mothballed.
Yeah.
So it's just, there are sometimes the adults in the room have to step up and say, sorry, kids, but this is what the decision is going to be. And I think more major league teams will be doing it now. It's just a real shame that we have to talk about it this way. And the other thing that I was going to point out is you shouldn't, and this is the least of concerns when a fan is injured, but Todd Frazier shouldn't have to go through that.
No.
Todd Frazier shouldn't have to be kneeling on the third base dugout, or in front of the third base dugout, thinking about his kids, which is what he said yesterday. He said, I got two kids that are under 3 years old, and that was all I could think about. You shouldn't be putting people through that. And this girl and her family are the highest priority, but the fact that those guys, if something...
For something they can't control.
Right, something that you have no control over. Yeah. Todd Frazier is just trying to blister a ball into the outfield and could have literally killed a human being. That should not be something that's possible.
Well, a few years back when Kevin Youkilis, I remember at Fenway Park, he cracked his bat and the barrel went flying into the stands. And the shard stuck in a woman's head when she was
Tyler
walking
Colvin.
Down.
Yeah, having a Tyler Colvin. It stuck in his chest when he was at third base as a base runner.
And, the woman was there with her young kid, and she, it hit her, it can't, that shouldn't have to happen.
No!
And Kevin Youkilis is 15 feet away hearing the woman scream.
Exactly.
And he's just staring what did I do?
What is he supposed to do in that moment? Anything. Exactly. And you should not have to live with that.
No.
As somebody who's just, you're out doing your job, it's an escapist experience for all the people who are in attendance. There is no logical argument that goes against enhancing fan safety this way, unless you're a stodgy person. It's going to interfere with my view. If you go sit behind home plate, you notice the screen for 4 seconds.
Yeah, it's almost like your eyes adjust to it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And you see
because you're
it.
A human being.
Yes.
And that's how things work.
Yeah. Exactly.
So that was a news story that we wanted to cover. It's just so weird because there's just not. You just gotta go win. There's just not a whole lot really in terms of baseball stuff to discuss. You just gotta go win.
Yep. Pretty much.
That's pretty much it.
Pretty much where we're at.
One other news item in the Rockies organization, the Rockies and the Boise Hawks, the Class A short season affiliate of your Colorado Rockies, announced an extended player development contract. So that team will be part of the Rockies organization until 2020.
Right.
If not longer. So that's pretty cool. And,
they seem to like it there. Good for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how's things? How's things, buddy?
It's starting to wind down a little bit. We got all the stuff done, and you're shaking me. You're shaking me. Stop. We got pretty much everything done at this point.
Ah. Okay. What was on the docket? Well, yeah. I'm gonna use this as a cover, like I'm interviewing you, when in reality, I just haven't looked at the PDF and I don't know what's going on the next couple days. But so what's the schedule like
for the
next couple days?
We will have a nice little get together here tonight with most of the bridal party who's coming in, you included somehow.
Yeah, me. I'm one of them. Yeah. I'm a groomsman.
Tomorrow, the rehearsal will go on at the church.
You're doing a rehearsal lunch.
Because,
and then also a dinner gathering.
Because here's why.
Yeah.
It's with a rehearsal dinner because they want to have with a bridal party. We have the rehearsal at 11:30 tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
Rehearsal lunch.
Okay.
Right afterwards.
What's the food going to be like?
It's a Brio Italian restaurant.
Oh, okay. I've been to a Brio before.
So it's very good.
Okay.
And then we will go play golf.
Okay.
We'll go to Top Golf.
We're going to Top Golf?
Top Golf for the whole party.
So not really playing golf. It's just you just blast balls off into a right? Like we're gonna be every minor leaguer ever.
Yes.
Like any minor leaguer who has ever
in
the Phoenix
area. You and
me
are gonna take a very stereotypical minor
league Instagram
picture.
Yeah, we are. Absolutely we are. And I'm gonna tag it with just like random sponsors that we don't actually have.
And like hashtag blessed.
Like thanks to Grips Batting Gloves for sending us all this swag, hashtag blessed.
Thanks to...
Here we are at Topgolf. What's the one that's there's the dips that are coffee grinds, they're not tobacco.
What?
And a lot of guys do that. Coffee grind pouches. Let's see what they're called. Grinds.
They're really called grinds?
That's what they're called.
G-R-I-N-D-Z?
G-R-I-N-D-S, actually.
Oh, actually.
Thankfully.
Okay. Wow.
But yeah, no, that's one of those, like, sometimes you'll see minor leaguers thanking grinds on Twitter. Thanks to Grimes for all these new flavors. It's like, what is wrong with you?
That's
so I think
weird.
I'll pick out somebody like that.
Okay.
Or maybe because Big League Chew never came through for me. Big
no.
League Chew, I tweeted about them. They DM'd me and said, all right, we'll mail you a bunch of gumballs. I never got any gumballs from Big League Chew. Liars.
That's ridiculous.
So anyway, those are our sponsors for tomorrow. Grimes and Big League Chew.
Yes. And
so that's golf.
So
that's post lunch.
That's post lunch. It's like 3:30 to 5:30, and then we are going to have, in lieu of a regular rehearsal dinner where we just invite the bridal party, we're going to have a welcome barbecue, which in Greek is called a panagiri. We will have that from 7 to 9 tomorrow at the resort. It's going to be lambs on spits, and booze flowing for a couple hours. We have cornhole there. We're going to have games and everything like that. So we'll invite everybody to that is coming for the wedding to this welcome barbecue, and then. That will be our kickoff of the weekend for everybody involved.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then Saturday, what I noticed, the one thing that I did notice, and this is...
Strip clubs.
All over the itinerary. It was just one strip club after another.
Yeah.
No, the thing that I noticed is poor Nicole and the bridesmaids, their day starts at 5:45 a.m.
It sure does.
And the first thing listed for us is 11:30 a.m.
That is correct.
I looked at that today and I was like, oh, that is not fair at all.
No,
that's
not
in the least fair.
No, not even a little bit.
What time is the actual ceremony?
4 o'clock.
So Nicole's going to be awake for roughly 12 hours before the actual ceremony.
Correct.
Okay.
We have our first look at like 12:45.
Huh.
And then the wedding's not till 4.
Huh. What if she just gets a look at you and it's like, no, no way.
If her first look is,
nope, absolutely not. We're going to call this whole thing off. I still have some of the food for the...
I mean, it's already paid for.
Okay, good.
So, yeah. Right.
I mean, that's all I care about.
Yeah,
Whatever.
Max out all our credit cards, whatever.
It's fine. No, it's good. Yeah. It's good. Okay, then I think that pretty well covers it.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, at this stage, for you as a...
Yeah.
As a person and as an athlete, let's just dive into your mentality right now.
Sure.
I mean, emotionally,
how
is this affecting you?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to lie, it's been tough, but I got a good support system around me, and I think it's really nice to have people around you that they really try to bring you up instead of try to take you down.
Right.
That's why we're a team right here, working for the same goal.
Right.
We want to we see the light at the end of the tunnel. We just want to make sure that we get there and we're at our best by the time we reach that light.
Right. No, I mean obviously you want to be playing your best once you get there. When you got a teammate obviously who's so productive in this area, like Nicole. What makes her so good as a human being to put up with you in any capacity.
You know, seeing her work every day, it's really fun to watch. It's fun to come back home every day, come to work every day, and really just see what she can do, because really a lot of times I'm amazed at what she can do. Like, it's, you know, you see what she's done for the party here. You see what she's done, you know, to get everything worked out.
Just her whole career.
Just the whole career, honestly. It's been amazing. Like, really from start to finish, like, you know, when I first met her, I knew that she was something special. But now we're 4 years in.
Yeah.
I can definitely tell that, I'm glad that I'm here is what
right,
I can say.
Right. You
know?
Glad you signed here.
Yeah.
So many of us had idols growing up, the Ken Griffey Juniors of the world, or the Larry Walkers in some of our cases. Who did you look up to as a future guy who would be getting married?
As a future guy, I mean, I don't have to look very far. I mean, my father, you know, it's a cliche to say that as a role model, but, you know, he and my mother have been married for 43 years now. So, you know,
longer than we've been alive.
I do not have to look very far to find a good role model. It was my dad. You know, he'd always be there to play catch with me and show me, you know, how important being respectful was. And, he's been my rock from day one.
Okay, let's get into some actual questions.
Yeah.
How many groomsmen do you have?
8.
One of which is me,
reason. Yeah. Well, I lied a lot.
For coughing. Let's say you got a field. There's 9 of us.
Yeah.
You see where I'm going with it?
Yeah, okay.
Let's say you got a field, a lineup.
Sure.
Who is going where and what's the order?
Okay. So, let's see. If I'm starting out with a leadoff hitter, I think it would have to be Adam.
Okay.
One of my best men.
He's the best man.
I actually have co-best men.
Okay.
One, his name is Tyler. The other, Tyler, and my name. Party.
But the man behind the t-shirts.
Yes, but the man behind Humble Monster. You guys know him very well. You wear a lot of his gear around Coors Field.
You do.
We appreciate that. Adam is my other best man. I met him in college. I think he'd be the best one because he is an actor, so he has to stay skinny as all hell at all times. He lives in Brooklyn, and he's got a lot of speed to him. He's deceptively fast. I think he'd be a good center fielder.
Okay.
Behind the plate, I'm going to go with Tyler Merkel.
Okay.
He was a catcher back in Little League. Was one of my catchers.
Good size for a catcher.
Good size. Merkel, yeah. He's a 6'3".
Yeah.
You know, 6'3".
Like a Joe Mauer-ish catcher.
Yeah. So, like, I like him in the two-hole. He can put the bat on the ball. He was always really...
Two-hole hitting catcher.
He was a tough guy to get out. I want to seem like a Jason Kendall type without the speed.
What is his double play ground ball rate? Because we know that's important in a two-hole hitter.
It is less than DJ LeMahieu. Let's say that.
Okay, so Adam's in center. The other Tyler M.
Yeah.
is in is behind the plate and batting second.
And in the three-hole, boy, let's see. I got to say, the three-hole, you want a guy with a lot of a pop who can get around. I go Tyler Mon.
Your best all-around hitter, baby.
Yeah, DH.
That's what you... Actually, no. That's probably fair. It's probably fair.
Yeah.
Because I'm not. Wasn't real good in the field, as they said. I get hit. That was about all.
Well, and this is why I like to.
I would say bat first, third baseman.
I think batting cleanup, playing first base is going to be Nicole's brother Andrew.
Okay.
He was offensive lineman back in high school.
Be like our Prince fielder.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, I like the fielder aspect.
Got
of
some
him.
Pop.
Yeah. Got some pop there. So got Andrew at the four hole. Got right behind him. I think you gotta put Sam Goodwin, one of my friends from high school. He is a big Twins fan, big Kirby Puckett guy. I want to throw him in left field. I know it doesn't seem like, you know, maybe he's a little bit on the heavier side, but I think left field is a good spot for him. I think he's quicker than he looks, and honestly, he's lost a lot of weight. He was probably running about 240, 250 back in high school. He's down to about 170, 180 now. So he's really figured it out. All right, now who else do we have? We still have, we have the one Greek guy, James Angelis.
There's only one Greek guy in this wedding?
Well, besides Andrew.
We're like, this is like Athens West here.
It really is.
But there's only one Greek guy aside
from
Andrew.
You haven't even seen it. You have.
I know,
no
I've only
idea.
Been here for like 2 hours.
I would definitely put James Angelis at the three hole, following the other great Greek third baseman tradition of Mike Moustakas.
Okay.
He's my three hole hitter. And then, let's see, still missing, how many is that? Who else is it quicker? Sorry, I'm trying to, there's so many people.
It's good that you don't remember your groomsmen.
Who am I missing?
Cool.
Okay. So then we got Roger and Mike left. Mike, who I call Quaker. I'm going to throw Roger in right field.
Okay.
He played corner back in high school here in Arizona. He was he's from Flagstaff.
Okay.
So I like him in right. He follows after Luis Gonzalez. He had a nice little sweet stroke, very smooth with the baseball.
That works.
He'll be in right. And then around the lineup is I need two more. So Mike Rand would be the.
What are we missing?
The pitcher, which would be me, because that's nine.
Oh, I thought. Did you? Who's second base? First base.
Well, I definitely called DH for you, but
yeah, I know. But there's only nine of us,
yeah.
So you would still need to fill all the positions more.
No, we could have Nicole play second.
Yeah, we could have Nicole play. That's true.
Nicole play second.
Okay, that's true. That's fair. All right.
So yeah, so we'll have Quaker and short.
I'm fine, man. DH is get paid. Yeah. Buko bucks, yeah. Brother. I'm okay with that. I'm good with that.
I think we went through it there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. No, I like it. I just feel honored to be a part of this team, to hold down a spot reserved for your best all-around hitter and most handsome guy in the three-hole. I'm humbly I accept that role to lead this team in looks and in hitting. And, I'm just glad to be here. Just glad to be here. Real honored.
Just real happy to be part of the team.
Yeah, just real happy to be here. Take it day by day, try to help the ball club.
Yeah, good Lord willing.
Good Lord willing, things will work out. That'll be great. It's going to be fun. All right, we probably dicked around enough on this one.
I think we did.
Hey, good luck, buddy.
Thanks, friendo.
All right, we'll talk to you guys next week. Hopefully it'll be, it'll be good.
We might not.
Oh, yeah, we might not. I might.
You might.
Yeah, what is your schedule?
I'm in Cabo for 5 days.
5 days. Okay.
Six days.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll be back the last day of the regular season.
I should
hopefully
do a solo podcast.
Hopefully the Rockies are doing stuff by then.
That would be terrible. It'll just be me screaming into the void with nobody to hear me.
Why?
I'm just crying. It'll just be 30 minutes of me sobbing. Ordinarily, we do 60 together. It'll just be 30 of me crying after they get swept out of San Diego this weekend. That'll be great. Oh, my God. That'll be great. Okay. Love you all. Wish your best things to Anthony.
Yay.
Send your best wishes. All right. That's it. Talk to you next week. Love you. Bye.